Good morning.
Good morning.
Davis?
Yes.
Veronica from Toronto.
Hi, Veronica.
Hello.
Good to hear you. I'm trying to get my headset on here. I got tied up on the computer this morning and almost forgot what time it was.
Hi,
is that Margaret?
It is.
Hey, Margaret, good to hear your voice. When did, you haven't been on it for a while, have you? Or have I just not been listening?
It's been sporadic, and I've been kind of listening, not talking very much.
Well, good to hear your voice. Glad you're talking. Okay, Margaret from Texas. I'm going to make my little list here, and we had Veronica from Toronto. Was that right?
Yes.
Okay, good job. Veronica, you're pretty new on the program, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay, good. Maybe you'll have some questions for us or something. Now, am I coming across real loud? I have this headset, and maybe it's too close to my face.
No, it's fine for me.
Okay, all right. Sometimes I listen to these recordings and I think I'm overpowering. So I'll try to talk real soft. Who else has joined us this morning? I heard some other beeps. Okay, this is the lifestyle call, advanced lifestyle call. I'm going to go ahead and kick it off because I've got a little bit of time here. I'm with after 7. And the purpose of the Advanced Lifestyle Call is to provide the most current nutritional and advanced product technology information in the wellness industry. When better health is attained, all areas of life will be impacted, and the people you hear today are part of a study pilot group that are actively applying both principles found in the China Study Book by Colin Campbell, and most are utilizing cutting-edge wellness products made available by Nikan Incorporated. The China Study, where the book begins, was the largest nutritional study ever done in the world, and there were 880 million participants. It boggles my mind. Attending this call, in no way obligate you to make any purchases. You're our guest. We ask only that if you find this helpful and see benefit in anything you learn, please pass on the call number and the time to others. Thank you for allowing us to enter your home, office, or car at this time. I know some of you are on your way to work or out for appointments or whatever. So, my name is Mary Lou Reardon, and I'm from Washington State, and it's only 7 o'clock here. So, we've got people from all over the country on the call, and I hope some of you will speak up, give us your name, and tell us where you're from. Okay, this is going to be a monologue type day, I guess, huh? Margaret, I hope you can go on mute. Veronica, do you have any questions?
Not at this time.
Okay, how long have you been doing the program, and have you read the book? And
I'm sorry, I'll go ahead.
Okay. Oh, Veronica, how long have you been on the program?
Well, actually, in the basic program for about a year, but I came across this the website and the phone link. I was just searching for something, and I have eaten meat for about 26 years, and so I was always interested in vegetarian per se, but I was getting bored with what I knew. So finding this this link was great for me because it's given me a lot more different ideas, and also I was very fascinated to figure out cooking without fat.
Uh-huh.
Use a lot of olive oil and so I'm finding that beneficial, and just hearing what the group is saying and learning from that, so that's helping me. And I'm more diligent now with my my protein and my crave control that sometimes I wasn't diligent with.
Yeah, I've moved the crave control to the middle of I have the bottle on my desk now. I was one of those people that forgot to take it.
I find that the hardest time for me is when I get home from work, between work and supper time. I feel I want to be snacking all the time, so that's an area that I'm trying to work on.
Uh-huh.
Get better at over.
That's right. And, you know, that seems to be, but I don't know about everybody else, but that was always the most difficult time for me, too, you know. In the kitchen, getting ready to prepare meals, seems like, you know, we're just really anxious. It used to be I'd come home from work when I had a J-O-B, and I would attack almost anything. We used to laugh. Anything that didn't move in the kitchen, I was after while I was trying to cook meals. And that is, it's just a very bad habit.
Well, I'm working on it.
Yeah, I know. Well, good for you. So the website you're talking about, was that drmcdougall.com?
No, it was actually Monty's website. Somehow I stumbled on it. I went on to a link and I stumbled on this advanced lifestyle call, and I called in. I saw the number and I called in, and that's when I learned about the China study. And from then, I started going on to Dr. McDougall's website.
Okay.
It's all on account of listening to the call.
Okay, well, great. I hope you find the call helpful. And
yes.
When you were talking about, you know, you've been a vegetarian for how many years?
26 years.
Okay, well, good for you. Good for you. You were ahead of all the rest of us, I guess.
Well, it was by choice. I became very ill when I was pregnant, and it was on account of some meat that I ate, and then I just made the decision that I didn't need that.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it didn't, you know, there were times I would just fill up on carbohydrates and not anything else, and then I started having tofu, and I didn't want tofu, but I believe right now, just listening to the calls and going on to these various sites, it's given me a broader range and variety of things that I can prepare and enjoy and not be bored with.
Right, yeah, we share a lot of good recipes here, and I don't know if you're on my email list, Veronica, but if you...
Yes, I did get, there was one burger.
Okay.
Yes, I did get that, and then I did email you and ask you for your tortilla soup,
okay.
Yes, and I did make the burger, and it was wonderful. My husband, actually, who loved meat, but now is sort of joining me, he really enjoyed that burger because I did it, and then he had all the condiments with it, like onions and tomatoes and olives and that sort of thing. So he really enjoyed it.
Good.
Okay. He's buying into what I'm doing.
Yep, my husband too. Okay. If for any of you that are listening, is there anybody else on the call that would like to speak up and tell us your name and where you're from? Okay. Is there anybody, I don't know if you like yogurt, Veronica and Margaret, but Char had shared with me the name of a yogurt, and I bought it because my husband likes it, and he likes it as a snack, and I like to put it over my Ezekiel, mix it in with my Ezekiel cereal, and this particular yogurt is vegan. It's
Okay. Fasting,
whey, and gluten-free, and there's no cholesterol, and the brand is the Whole Soy and Company. And I was so excited. I asked Char where I would find it, and she said, you probably have to go to a health food store. But I found it at our Safeway store. I don't know if you've got Safeway there, but that's our, you know, it's a grocery store here.
Right.
Finding that in that store just told me more and more and more people are going this way. Whole Soy and Company, yes.
Is that in the dairy or the frozen?
It's in the dairy.
Okay.
We do have. There's Nancy. We've got somebody else on the call.
Yes,
actually, in our Safeway store, it's pretty cool. They've been remodeling all the stores up here. And when you go through, you know, I usually shop the exterior, you know, part of the store, but by the fresh vegetables and fruits, if you walk down the very next aisle right around the corner, they have another cooler there specifically for this really healthy. salty stuff. Now you got to really read the labels because they've got a lot of cheeses in there that are, you know, the first or the second ingredient is. I picked up one the other day. I couldn't believe it. It said it was veggie cheese, and the first ingredient was cheddar cheese.
Vegetarians use that.
Huh? Now I know, but it's that's okay. Well, anyway, when I read the label, a lot of them will have the caffeine as the second, third, fourth ingredient, but this one was actually that cheddar cheese, very first thing, and it was called. I don't remember if it was veggie cheese or... Oh, I think it was actually almond cheese, you guys. So you got to read your labels. Okay, well, good to hear you. Okay, Margaret from Texas, how are you doing? She's on mute, probably out walking.
Sorry, I was on mute.
You were. So how are you doing? Well, it sure is nice to hear you on the call. It sounds like are you out walking?
Yeah, I am. I was walking. I figured I need to start doing again.
Okay. Well, Margaret said great results on the previous lifestyle program, and now she's here on the advanced lifestyle program. And I think the advanced lifestyle program is just taking us all to a new level.
Yeah, it sounds.
Pardon me.
I'm sorry. Sounds like I'm having 16. Yeah, I'm just doing enough variety. I'm not doing very well with variety as far as my eating goes. And it's kind of fall into probably resistance. So any ideas for getting some variety? I think sometimes I look at things and I think, oh, man, that's going to take a long time to cook. So I just, you know, don't do well.
Well, one thing I've been doing, Margaret, and you've got a good sized family, don't you? I don't know how many you've got.
Yeah, we've got eight in our family, so.
At home?
Eight at home, uh-huh.
Okay, I was going to say, because with Larry and I, you know, I always double, triple the recipe or whatever, and then I turn around and I freeze some, but.
What kind of things can you do that with, Mary Lou? What is appropriate to freeze? I mean, you know.
Okay, I've been freezing. When I make up my spaghetti sauce, you know, we had that last night. Actually, I take the leftover sauce and I'll freeze it. Next time, all I have to do is cook up my noodles and chop up my little salad, and we're ready to go. I do that with a lot of soups that I make. I'll end up putting those all in the freezer. I've got tons of room in my freezer without any meat in there, I'll tell you. So,
chili.
Yeah, chili. Yeah, you can freeze up your chili. So that they're easy then to grab for. I went to Walmart and bought some small, nice little frozen containers. You know, they're about the right size for both, you know, for Larry and I. Char mentioned that to me, too. And I know where you're at, Margaret, because that's what I thought right at the very beginning. I thought, oh, good grief, you know, this is, and, you know, we were on the pilot group, and it just seemed like I was spending a lot of time cooking, but I found that, you know, we're kind of simple folks. We've never needed a ton of variety at our house. There's certain things that we really like, and so what I found was, if I wanted, like that, insanely easy vegetarian chili recipe. I found that by going to allrecipes.com, and I just typed in at the top, vegan chili, I think I put, vegan chili. And then I hit the button, and a bunch of different recipes come up, and I took the one that had the most stars on it. People had rated it pretty high, and I looked at that, and I thought, wow, now that sounds good. Every ingredient in there sounded good. I printed it off, and I made it.
What's the website again, Marilyn?
That's allrecipes.com. Allrecipes.com. So, and then we've got Dr. McDougall, who's got, you know, lots of recipes there. Mary McDougall's mini diet, where she talks about having your main part of your meal be a starch. And I think she says that she and her husband, every time they do that, they lose 10 pounds in 10 days. And it's Larry was thrilled when I found that one because he could make the main part of his meal with potatoes, which has been a no-no for so long. And he's just in seventh heaven. And then, you know, you have your vegetables or your fruit or your salad with it. And the other thing is that, and a trick I had learned a long time ago, is when I make my salad, I put a huge variety in there. And now I know it's getting to the time of the year where the vegetables aren't tasting as good as they were in the summer. Were we a little spoiled, you guys? Getting through the summertime. But I will try to make a salad with, you know, 7 to 10 different ingredients in it. Yeah, it takes a lot of topping, but I never put my wet tomatoes in it. I keep them separate so that if I've got leftover salad, nice and dry, I can put it in a baggie in my crisper drawer, and I've got salad made up for a long time, you know, for a couple, 2-3 days.
I think that's one of my challenges, too, Mary, is keep forgetting. I think I'm trying to do all the vegetables, and I keep on forgetting that probably I need to do more grains. This was kind of a no-no for a while, and so I'm just learning what, the different things, what's available and how to cook it. I know, for me, if I learn how to do spices, if I find the right combination of spices, but
that's
why
the Google website is so good.
Is it? Okay, because, Doug and I just got back from a cruise last month, and I had the first night was the most wonderful vegetarian meal. It was actually the most wonderful meal I think I've ever had, and it was some kind of Indian, curry, and just a whole bunch of things. I thought, oh, man, if I could really, if I knew what spices to use with that, I would love to make this kind of thing, but, this is all an experiment. Spices are kind of pricey, and so I keep on thinking, okay, what do I buy, what do I need to buy that I can use over and over again? And I know I'll be wasting a lot of money, so the Google website for that?
I think the Google website is pretty good for a lot of things. You can just search in there. I was trying to think I had it. One of these books that I've got, and I might have to find it for another day and come on and tell you, but I was looking at one of them. I thought it was the McDougall Maximum Weight Loss Diet, where she talked about the different spices that you use. Okay, here we go. Okay, these are some spices for Indian food. Is that what you were talking about?
Yes.
Turmeric.
Turmeric?
Yep, turmeric, curry powder, cilantro, and cumin.
Okay, good. Well, I've got three of those.
Yeah, and cilantro is, that's always in my house. We absolutely love cilantro. Cilantro goes in everything. So this is kind of neat. It says seasoning foods for the maximum weight loss program. If you want Mexican foods, these are your seasonings. You guys want to know this? You got Mexican is salsa, chili powder, cumin, and cilantro. Italian, and I mean, these are just the basic ones. You probably
right.
find some other things you want to add to, but Italian is parsley, basil, oregano, and garlic. Asian is soy sauce, fresh ginger, dry mustard, and garlic.
Out of the street.
Greek is lemon juice, cinnamon, cumin, and black pepper. And then the end was turmeric, curry powder, cilantro, and cumin.
And where did you find that?
That's page 194 and 195 of the McDougall Program for Maximum Weight Loss.
Okay, thank you.
That is a book. Half the book is, not half, but there are some recipes in there. But, you can get just about anything from their website, and they've got a great search bar on there, too.
Okay, and the website is?
drmcdougall, mcdougall.com.
Thank you.
And Steve said yesterday half.com has a bunch of their books really reasonable.
Yes, that's where I usually go.
Uh-huh.
Thanks. Sorry, what's that website?
R.Dougal. So it's
no, the other one about the book.
Oh, half.com.
Okay, thank you.
Now, last night, when we're talking about grains, last night when we had our spaghetti, I had my quinoa, aged it, it cooked delicious, cooked in 4 to 6 minutes, and wheat-free, spaghetti-style, light, delicious, gluten-free. So it's a super grain pasta, and quinoa is Q-U-I-N-O-A. I don't know where I found this, but I just really, really like it. And anytime I'm in the store and I spot it, I pick it up. Because it's got, well, it does have 4 grams of protein in it and low fat. And that's what we cooked up for our noodles. And then we had our spaghetti sauce over that with lots of vegetables in it. And then a wonderful, small, you know, green salad with it.
Mary, you're freezing a bunch of stuff. What kind of containers are you using?
Well, the last time, the spaghetti sauce last night had been in jars. I don't know if I would do that again. So some of my soups out there I've got in those containers Char told me about. Pardon me?
What is
they, I just got them at Walmart, and I don't know the brand.
What are they made out of?
Oh, they're probably made out of plastic.
Okay.
And Mary Lou?
Yes?
This is me.
Hi, Lou.
Hello. Hi, Margaret. And hi, Nancy, and everybody else.
Hi, Lou.
Been on here for a while. And Mary, all these things about freezing and all these things sound exactly the same thing as what I do. But one of the things I've done is buy extra glass Pyrex serving dishes or that you can bake in.
Oh.
And some of them with lids, but a lot of the 9x14 ones. And it's almost as easy to make 2 or 3 batches when you're cooking. Once you know how you fix something, like we do enchiladas, and they're probably one of the most popular things. Enchiladas, and then just make up 3 batches and put them in the freezer. I mean, put 2 of them in the freezer. And so that's one of the things that helps us the most. Make the favorite things to freeze them, like Mary said, but you have to have something to put them in. And you know, just buy it every now and then, buy a couple of extra dishes, and then you have those, and it's a lot easier to be able to do that. Same thing with a soup.
Right.
I know you won't want a 9x14. You'll want a deeper dish, and hopefully with a lid, or I just use saran or tinfoil up for a lid and put it in the freezer.
Yeah, these containers that I picked up at Walmart were pretty inexpensive, and they came in all different sizes. And you can also put saran, like, in the bottom and then put, you know, put your stuff in it and then put the lid on it. And it makes it, you know, really easy to pull it out.
I did use a jar. You want a good jar, a Kerr or ball, but don't fill it clear up.
Because right.
You have to be jam in there all the time, and so it's fine if we just don't fill them up too full.
Yeah, that's what I did. And then I brought them out and I laid them in a bowl of water until they thawed a little bit so I could get them out because they were not in a wide mouth. That was the only problem I had. We had to kind of break it up.
Yeah, I only use wide mouth. My hands are too big to fit in those.
Yeah. So,
a word of warning with Pyrex, just be real careful if you're going to put it in the oven that it's not cold because it'll crack.
Yeah, you need to bring it out and leave it at room temperature a little bit before you pop it in there.
Yeah. Corningware works fine.
Okay. Well, those were some great ideas. Did that help, Margaret? She's gone back on mute. She's out on her walk. Okay, do we have any other questions this morning, or?
I have a question. I finally made my squash last night, and is the skin edible on any squash?
It might be edible, but I don't think it did.
The one on the, I think it was buttercup is what it was called, the orange one on the inside, really was not bad. Acorn I didn't like at all, but the buttercup, I think it's called, wasn't bad. What about the seeds? Are those edible on squash like they are on pumpkin or not?
Yeah, they're edible. If you, you can't get the shells. I mean, you have to eat the shells at all.
And they are okay to eat?
I've eaten them for years.
Really? And on all kinds of squash?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Thank you.
When I bake the squash, I just take and put the seeds in a little pirate, you know, the pirate dish, and bake them till they're, you know, crispy.
Okay.
Sometimes I forget and I bake too much.
Uh-huh.
It's trash, but you kind of have to watch it. You want to get them really crispy.
Yeah. So like the ones from pumpkin.
Yeah.
We picked up a half a dozen pumpkins yesterday just for the seeds.
I have a question.
Thank you, Mary Jane.
Spaghetti squash. How long do you cook it? It's a good size one. How do I know it's done?
When it's soft, because that was one of them that I did, right? When you can poke something in it?
You can poke. It's when you can go through the shell. That shell is really hard.
The hardest part is cutting it.
What?
The hardest part is cutting it in half to be able to put its skin down.
But Liz, why don't you cook the spaghetti squash in a pot? That was one of the things I was going to mention. One of the best things that happened to me, I was in a big hurry, and I was going somewhere, and on that song, because it was only a couple of hours, and so I had a huge butternut squash, and I couldn't imagine how I was ever going to cut that thing and fix it and put it down, so I just took a really strong knife and dabbed it into the bulb part, and made a little teeny fine, cut a little tiny triangle so that it could have a little air coming out. I think I made two eyes. And then I stuck the thing on a pan and put it in the oven and turned it down to 275 or something. And I came back, I sliced that little big fat squash, and it was so easy.
Mm-hmm.
All the fighting I've been doing with the squashes.
Mm-hmm.
So then I did the same thing with the spaghetti squash.
Mm-hmm.
Just poke a little hole in it and let it cook. So I cooked it slow for a couple of hours. I don't think I cooked that one for a couple of hours, for about an hour probably. 300 or something, and it turned out really, really well, and it's so easy to cut in half then. It makes it really a lot quicker and so much easier.
And you've already baked the seeds.
And the seeds are all baked. And another thing is, I had this one pumpkin, and I thought it was a squash. So I cooked it up, and actually I opened that one up and took some of the seeds out. That would be just took out the top and then put the whole thing in the oven and cooked it, and it didn't taste as squashy as a pumpkin, I mean as a squash, but it was good. We put butter on it and thought it was a squash. Then I found out it was a fairy tale pumpkin. They're really pretty, so. Anyway, certainly it's easier to cook them when you're not trying to cut them all up.
So when you're making the hole on the squash to put in the oven pretty much whole, are you piercing all the way through?
Piercing into the center, yes.
Uh-huh. That's a good idea.
This is the one part. I don't even know if you need to do that.
Potato
or something that exploded.
Uh-huh.
So I usually make a hole in the thing.
That would be a mess.
It was.
It would be a real mess if a planted squash exploded.
Well, I don't think the meaty part that's where it's meaty all the way through, I don't think that will explode. It's just in there where there might be, I don't know if there's air in there or what, but that must be what the problem is, and so that's where I've pierced it into the bulb part where the seeds are.
That's a good idea.
Would it be partially the expansion from the baking also?
Possibly, but anyway, I don't have any problem. I didn't poke the rest of the squash.
It's making some holes with an ice pick would help. I used to have an ice pick years and years ago.
I would think that would help. That's all my mother ever did, I think.
Yeah.
A pork work.
Yeah. If you get, yeah, well, some of those squashes.
Yeah, that's true. But
pretty big.
Yeah.
I was disappointed with the acorn. It really was. I remember, I used to make that years ago all the time, and I remember being sweet, and this one was not at all.
See, I love acorn squashes, but I cut it in half and lay it in a pan upside down, face down. I take the seeds out, lay it face down in a pan in about, an inch or so of water.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got that from the McDougal website. And then I put it in while Larry's potato was baking, because I get bored with baked potatoes. And then about 10 minutes before it's done, drizzle that real maple syrup, a little bit of that over the top of it, and put it back in the oven for 10 more minutes.
Uh-huh.
It's absolutely delicious.
I didn't put anything on it, and I don't remember that I used to put anything on it. I remember it being sweet. This was not. The butter cup one was sweet.
Mm-hmm. And then that's the same thing. Mary Bernard was Paulette was telling us about Mary Bernard, how she fixes these sweet potatoes. Every time Dennis comes back there to Minnesota, Bruce, and so anyway, she takes these sweet potatoes and cooks them, I think she said, in water. So that's what I've been doing now. I cut them in chunks and cook them in the water in the oven, baking them yeah. along with Larry's, because I hate to have that oven on for one day. And so, and then I kind of do the same thing right before it's done. I'll drizzle a little bit of that maple syrup over it, the real stuff. So it's pretty good.
The sweet potatoes are sweet anyway.
I know, but I like the syrup on them. I like the syrup. My mother always made them with butter and brown sugar, so this is kind of a cheating way.
Do you have a toaster oven?
I do not, no.
Oh, okay.
And mostly, most of my stuff I still cook in my Kensington cookware.
No.
Most of it I do there. I should probably just do my sweet potatoes there on the stove. It'd probably be delicious.
Well, you could just boil them on the stove. I've done that when I make sweet potatoes for Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh. One thing I wanted to mention today on the call is quite a while ago, Monty mentioned to me that, you know, if there's anything that I ever wanted, you know, get alerts about, that I could set up a Google alert for different things. And so I set up a Google alert for news on C. Colin Campbell. And sometimes these things come through and I just glance at them and, you know, don't go into research. You know, yesterday I clicked on this little button and it came from a newspaper article in Northwest North Carolina, the Winston-Salem Journal, dated yesterday. And it says, "Diet Changes. The Cancer Project educates people about eating better to stave off cancer." And it's written by this food editor. It says, "The Cancer Project has been teaching people about the connection between diet and cancer since 1991. And last week it organized cooking classes in Winston-Salem to help spread the word." And this Susan Newlis, a cooking instructor, talked about antioxidants, phytochemicals, and immune-boosting foods to a small group of Whole Foods Market in the Whole Foods Market on Thursday night. She gave a private class earlier in the day as part of a wellness program for employees at Wake Forest Baptist University. Anyway, she demonstrated a few low-fat vegetarian dishes, cucumber, mango, and spinach salad, creamy vegetable curry over quinoa, and gingered melon wedges. This lady, let's see, she's affiliated, the Cancer Project is a nonprofit group affiliated with Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, and the parent organization of doctors and others conducts research, promotes preventive medicine, and pushes for higher ethical standards. It comes down to here, it all started with China study, guys. It says World Health Organization has reported their diet figures into as many as 30% of the people with cancer in Western countries. And this PCRM cites several studies that show higher rates of cancer among meat eaters and lower rates among vegetarians. And then this lady, she said she first became interested in vegetarianism after working with T. Colin Campbell, a Cornell University researcher known for his China study on the connection between nutrition and cancer, diabetes, obesity, and heart disease. She has been a vegan, a person who eats no meat or dairy, for about 15 years and has been working part-time as an instructor for the Cancer Project for 2.5 years. So, that isn't that great? It's a very, very long article. I could maybe forward it to you because there are these three recipes were on the bottom of it.
Oh.
Gingered melon wedges, quinoa, and then this creamy veggie curry and cucumber mango spinach salad. They all sound lovely.
Could you send them on?
Yeah.
Forward it? I wouldn't mind.
Okay, I'll forward it on. All right, it's 7:34, and I know we all have a busy day. Does anybody have any last-minute questions or comments? This is month, and October 20th is actually Osteoporosis Day, World Osteoporosis Day. And so this is a good time to be talking to all of your friends and everything about osteodance. Well, when we were in Cancun, we heard all kinds of, I can't even remember all the different testimonies that we were hearing. People are so excited about the osteodance. And I know my husband had great results within about 10 days of taking osteodance. So this is an awesome product. And when I send you this email, Elaine Shaw from the East Coast, I can't remember exactly where she is, Virginia or somewhere, had made a suggestion about having, putting a comment about osteoporosis month or day on your signature line, so you'll see that on my signature line when I send it off. So, you guys, I'm going to go ahead and sign off unless anybody's got any last minute questions. Okay, I want to thank all our active city pilot group for your time commitment to this program. I want to thank everybody who spoke up today, and I want to thank all of our guests that are in attendance. If you have any questions or comments, I want to direct you to the person that invited you to this call. Have a wonderful day, and please join us again. We'll be here again tomorrow morning. Have a great day, you guys.
Good call, Mary Lou. Thanks.
Bye. Bye.